Hi, this is Regina. Yeah, I'm up next. Hello, can you guys hear me okay? Because I couldn't hear, I guess that was Vicky. I couldn't hear her very well. Okay, good. So I didn't know if it was my connection or not. Excellent. Hi, everyone. Happy Wednesday night. Happy Wednesday night. We're here for Holy Spirit Guides, which is when we take the time to read the messages that Holy Spirit has given me over the last few years to guide me. We started at the beginning, which was in 2004, and now we're up to December 2005. So what I'm going to do is give you a link to a message. Hold on just one second. I'll give you the exact link. You won't have to go searching for anything. Here you go. This is a link to a message that we're going to start with tonight. But before we go and read the message, what I would really like to do is just go into prayer with Holy Spirit. So if y'all would join me for that, I would really appreciate it. Thank you very much. By the way, are Vicky and Teddy still in the room? I guess that was Vicky's voice. Didn't sound like Teddy. I'm excited I get to see you two in just a little over a week now. So, yay! I'm really excited about coming to your house and seeing the two of you. Okay, now let's go into prayer. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for today. I feel today that there's additional clarity in my mind, or maybe another way to say it is that there was a piece of confusion or a piece of grievance that has been let go, and I can feel the difference. And I'm grateful. It seems like the last several weeks, although they've been wonderful and magnificent, there has also been agitation or discomfort that came from an increased awareness of the ego. And today is the day that I feel like that increased awareness paid off. Because today is the day that I feel freer, clearer, more in love than I was before. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for this stepped process. Where we seem to go through forgiveness lessons one at a time. Each one different in its own way, and yet they're all the same. Because they're all a matter of seeing something in our own mind that needs to be let go. And it seems like each time there's a seeming struggle in the letting go. But with willingness and patience, there just comes that day, that time, when that particular letting go is done. It's the miracle, because there's then no actual recognition of having let go at all. It just was erased. It was just disappeared. I know there's more to do, Holy Spirit, more work to do, and I'm just grateful for the way this whole thing works. Holy Spirit, as we go tonight and we look at these messages that seem to be from past guidance that I was given at what seems to be a different time, a different stage, I know that there is something useful for today, because I know there are no coincidences, there's no mistakes. So, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you please guide each and every one of us as we look at these messages to see whatever is most helpful for us to see today and to realize whatever is most helpful for us to realize now. Thank you so very much in advance for the gifts you are about to give. Amen. All right, it is done. It is done. Woohoo! And now we just get to find out, you know, what we're going to see. So, let's find out. I don't know if you guys have opened up to that message yet. I will give you the link again. And I'm going to look at it now. How can I need nothing? Is the name of the message, and it's from, it looks like it's around December 18th, 2005. So let me start by reading the question. If I choose to need nothing, then there is nothing left to do but simply sit and do nothing, not work, not eat, not drink, etc. As I'm starting to read this question, I don't think this was directly my question. It seems to me, the way I'm remembering it, is that somebody sent me this question and asked me to ask the Holy Spirit. And I don't always ask the Holy Spirit questions that people send me. I like to feel an internal prompt or an internal confirmation from the Holy Spirit to bring that question to him or to my within. But apparently this day I did, which means even though the question didn't come directly from me, it seemed to be another person asking the question, there was obviously something helpful in it for me too. So let me just get back to reading the question. If I choose to need nothing, then there is nothing left to do but simply sit and do nothing. Not work, not eat, not drink, etc. What are we supposed to do with all this activity if we choose to believe that we need nothing? Why would I feed my body if I don't believe in this need? I'm confused about this. The thought I need nothing paralyzes me. I cannot see myself involved in any kind of action if I embrace this thought. Can the body live on only love, no food or water? And yeah, this is a question that would not have come from me. It's from December 18th, 2005. Mary Ellen, do you need the link again? This is a question that would not have come from me. I've never felt paralyzed by the I need nothing thought. The link wouldn't work for you, sorry. I've never felt paralyzed by the I need nothing thought. There may have been some confusion in my mind about it sometimes. But I never felt paralyzed. It never, you know, I never questioned that when I was hungry, I should eat. When I felt like I had to go to the bathroom, I should go to the bathroom. I've always been okay with that basic kind of stuff. When I'm tired, I go to sleep. But like I said, even though the question didn't come from me, obviously the answer was helpful to me because I was prompted by Holy Spirit to ask the question. So let's see what's in the answer. The confusion comes from the belief that you are a body. You are much more than that. The body seems like you, but it is not. When you accept this truth, you will see that you cannot need food or water or air, for you will also see that you do not need the body. Your existence is beyond the body entirely. Yeah, and already this is speaking to me. And it was probably addressing a confusion that was in my mind, even though I never acted on the confusion or nearly acted on the confusion like the questioner was. Like I said, I always went to the bathroom when I felt like I had to go to the bathroom, ate when I felt hungry. But I think I probably had similar questions. Like I think I probably, maybe not when it came down to the bodily needs, but I think, no, I know that there was a time when if I had headache, it was a major deal for me to take aspirin or not to take aspirin. What is the right thing to do? There was a period of time that it was a major thing for me to exercise or not to exercise. Is it wrong to exercise? If I exercise, am I saying I'm a body? And what I didn't understand at the time was to even have that confusion meant that I believed I was a body. It wasn't whether I exercised or whether I didn't exercise. It was just to have the confusion at all. And I think a lot of us that study the Course have had this confusion in some place. Maybe, again, we knew to eat, but maybe we did have questions about right or wrong to diet, right or wrong to work out, right or wrong to take medicine. I think these are very common confusions. And there's some voice in our head, and I'll tell you, it's the ego voice. There's some voice in our head that's telling us if we take that medicine or if we jog around that block, then we're believing we're a body. But the truth is, the confusion around the question would never arise unless we already believed we were a body. And this is what Holy Spirit is saying. You do think you're a body. And if you understood what your existence was, if you understood that your existence is far, far, far beyond the body, you'd actually not even have these questions. In fact, it's amazing that someone who truly knows they are not a body has no guilt about jogging around the block. It's only the one who thinks he is a body and feels guilty about it that would have guilt about jogging around a block. So, Holy Spirit continues, as long as you perceive yourself to be a body, you may do two things. Number one, accept that it is your current perception. That's really great because he's just saying accept the way you see now. Just accept the way you see now. Don't deny it. Don't try and say you're not a body when you believe you are. And do you know why? Because it's actually guilt. It's actually the ego voice that tries to get us to pretend we're not a body when in reality we think we are. That's the ego. And you can tell if you pay any attention to it at all because it's guilt. It's guilt saying you're not a body, so you can't jog around the block. It's guilt that uses that voice. It's guilt that says you're not a body, so you can't take medicine, or you're not a body, so you can't go to the doctor. So he says, accept that it is your current perception. So feel okay about your need, and it is in quotes because it's not a true need, it's a perceived need. feel okay about your need for food, water, air, exercise, clothing, shelter, etc. There is no guilt in perceiving these needs within the world. I would also request that you not let yourself become obsessed by them. Listen to this last sentence here. Accept them, but let your only obsession be me. I think that's kind of funny. Let your only obsession be me. So if you're hungry, eat. If you have to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. Put on clothes. Put on clothes appropriate for the weather. Go ahead. But while you're doing all of this, keep your mind on me. Keep your mind on Holy Spirit. Keep your mind on your daily workbook lesson. Keep your mind on your mantra. Keep your mind on that sentence you randomly opened to this morning in A Course in Miracles or NTI. Keep your mind on your heart. Do all of those things. But keep your mind on me, he says. Number two. Again, as long as you perceive yourself to be a body, give your willingness to see yourself differently as you truly are. There's a real good reason not to pretend like we think we're not a body when in reality we still do. If we're all wrapped up in pretending like we think we're not a body when in reality we still do, we're not using our time to give our willingness to see it truly. And isn't that where the answer lies? The answer doesn't lie in pretending like I don't think I'm a body when in reality I still do. The answer lies in seeing truly that I'm not, truly, to where these kinds of confusions and these kinds of questions could never even arise. And so what I have to do is I have to admit, yes, yes, I think I am a body. Yes, I do. And then, and accept it without guilt, just accept it without any guilt, and then give my willingness to see differently. It's funny because Holy Spirit doesn't ask that much of us, I don't really think. Admit the way we see now, do not deny it, and give our willingness to see differently. Give your willingness to see yourself differently as you truly are. Do not try to make this change of perception happen. There's another great sentence. Do not try to force, you know, through the ego's will, this change of perception to happen. Trust that as you give your willingness, the change will occur within the mind as a miracle. Now that kind of reminds me of my opening prayer, because I think that's what's happened for me recently. As like I said, over the last several weeks, there's been an agitation in my mind that I was much more aware of than I had been before. And, you know, it seems like 1,000 times a day, and maybe that's a slight exaggeration, but it's actually not too much of an exaggeration. It seems like 1,000 times a day I was giving my willingness to see differently over the last, you know, several weeks. And then today I did. Just poof. Just poof. I didn't make it happen. I was just patient with the agitation of seeing the error in my mind and continually gave my willingness for it to be different. And continually trusted. You know what else I really did? I trusted that it would be different. I didn't know how long it would take, but I just trusted that if I stuck with giving my willingness that it be different, that it would be. And another thing I said in my prayer today is that this has happened, you know, before with other thoughts, other beliefs, other ideas. And I'm sure it's going to happen again. But each time It's like a little space is cleared in my mind. Some burden that was there before disappears. And everything is lighter. Just trust, he says, that as you give your willingness, the change will occur within the mind as a miracle. Don't try to make it happen. Just recognize how you see now, and every time you see it popping up in the mind again, give your willingness to see differently, and just be consistent. Don't let yourself believe those false thoughts, whether they're thoughts about being a body or whether they're thoughts about something else. It's really irrelevant. The process is always the same. The thoughts will keep showing up until they're healed. There's no doubt about that. But once you're aware of them, you don't have to fall into believing them. They show up. You might even feel the agitation of them showing up, the fear of them showing up. But you look right at them. You admit that they're there. And you give your willingness to see differently. And then one day, poof, you do. My dear child, all that I ask is that you enjoy each day by thinking of me. You know, this reminds me of a post I made earlier today. Somebody shared something in Facebook that I felt really inspired by, and so I think I posted it on all four groups that I post to. And it was a quote from Ramana Maharshi. And although I can't quote it right now, the basic idea behind the quote was Ramana Maharshi was telling a disciple of his or a student of his or a visitor of his, I don't know who it was, but he was telling this person, literally the worst thing you can do is focus on your weaknesses. You know, like to sit around and say, I'll never, ever, ever be able to let go of this thought. Or another discussion we had today on the peace of God is the idea of hate. I once knew a person who would say, I am this hate. And he believed it. I am this hate. This is what I am. I am this hate. You know? And Ramana Maharshi was saying, literally, the worst thing that you can do is to focus on your weakness, or to focus on what you believe is your evilness. And then he said, you are not weak or evil. The thoughts in your mind may be. Some of your habits may be. But you are not that. You are not that. And you know, Jesus tells us in the Course that he needs happy learners. And Jesus tells us in NTI, Galatians, to focus on our willingness. And Holy Spirit told Laurent and me in one of the messages that he gave us during our relationship that you always move towards what you're looking at. So if you're really looking at, focusing on your weakness, your belief that you will never awaken, your belief that you're not as good as everyone else, your belief that you're hate, as you focus on that, you draw yourself to that. But you can also focus in another way. You can see, for example, that you believe you're not as good as everyone else. But what you focus on is your willingness to see differently. You see, it's not denying that the belief is in your mind, but where do you really put the attention? You want to put the attention on that which will draw you up, not push you down. So you admit, yes, I believe I am a body. I focus on my willingness to see differently. Yes, I admit that I think I am this hate. But I focus on my willingness to see myself differently. Yes, I see. It is true. It is true. It is true. I think I am the lowliest creature on earth. But I focus on my willingness to let Holy Spirit show me it's not true. There's a difference between not denying, seeing, and focusing. And when we focus on that weakness, we hold to it. We don't let it go. We don't transcend it. We don't see it's not true. So Holy Spirit says, "My dear child, all that I ask is that you enjoy each day by thinking of me. I do not ask you to sit and do nothing. When I ask you to do nothing, I mean do not worry. When I ask you to do nothing, I mean do not worry. I mean trust and be happy." It's kind of like let go and let God, right? Let go and let God. That's what I mean by do nothing. I mean trust and be happy. Can you see how trusting and being happy may not exclude activity within the world, but it does release the struggle? Since all struggle is of the ego, release the struggle and just be. Then do whatever comes to you to do as you enjoy your peace with me. Then do whatever comes to you to do as you enjoy your peace with me. And that was the end of that message. So, it was a good and helpful message. It helped me see that the confusion itself was proof that the belief existed. The confusion itself was proof that the belief existed. And so I accept truthfully that the belief exists, and I give my willingness for the belief to disappear. I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody wants to share on that. And also what I'll do is go and get the link to the next message. But if anybody wants to share, please go ahead while I get the next message ready. I clicked on the next message, but my computer's, doing that really slow thing. Hold on 1 second. So we'll have an opportunity here to practice patience. Okay, here it is. This message is called "What More Can I Do?" It is from December 23rd, 2005. And when it's finished loading, I'll give you the link. Here we go. "What More Can I Do?" December 23rd, 2005. Here's the link. Yeah, I noticed Julie has written, "Just because you believe you are evil doesn't mean that you are evil." Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and then Neil has written, "Mind was created to be a creator, not a perceiver. ACIM is designed to bring you to the experience of peace through a change in perception." All right, let's look at this next message. "What more can I do?" And here is the question that I asked that day. "As I am giving my willingness to go deeper into the mind, I am seeing more of my error. For example, I see the myriad of judgments that my mind makes in order to separate the Son of God. Some of the judgments seem overt. Some seem subtle, some seem to be opinion, and some seem to be fact," and that's in quotes, "within the world." And I gave example of some of the facts that I'm realizing are judgments. Girl, boy, old, young, rich, poor. You know, the types of things that if I said to my mom, that's a girl, she would agree. There would be no opinion about it. You know, everybody would agree, yep, that's a girl, except for somebody who's really awakening. But I am recognizing that all of these judgments serve the purpose of separation. I give my willingness to see differently. What else can I do? I'm asking. Okay, so let's see if there's something we can do besides give our willingness. Holy Spirit says, giving your willingness is everything. So what you can do is increase the expression of your willingness. Since you still believe in the world, expressing your willingness in form can be helpful. Simply remember, as you take actions to express your willingness, that the action is a symbol. It is the expression of the willingness as giving that is most helpful. What can you do to express your willingness as giving? Remember that the goal is to increase your willingness to see your brothers as you through giving. Focused on that goal, do whatever comes into your mind to do. You might help someone with a task, share a warm smile, listen to another person. Whatever it is that you do, keep the intent fully in mind at all times. You are willing to see that you and your brothers are one and that love is all that exists. Through the consistent expression of your willingness, you ready yourself to receive by giving. Now, this is a very, very interesting message. I felt like reading the whole thing before I comment on it, but it's a very interesting message. One thing that's kind of interesting is it came on December 23rd, which is our Christmas season or our brotherhood season. But what's also interesting about this is that we know that healing is of the mind. And we know that the good works teaching of traditional Christianity is not necessarily how you awaken, because we know that you can do good works and keep right on judging in the mind. So it doesn't really matter how many hungry people you feed if the whole time you're feeding them you are judging the government that you perceive as guilty and responsible for their need to be fed, you know? So we know that good works aren't really the answer. But what Holy Spirit seems to be teaching here is that those of us who are trying to heal the mind but yet are still somewhat in denial, still somewhat in resistance, we have another way of fooling ourselves. We actually have another way of fooling ourselves. And that is by saying, it doesn't matter what I do, it only matters what I think. It can be another way of fooling ourselves, because the truth is, what we do is an expression of what we think. So if I never, ever, ever do anything for anyone else, do I really, truly see them as me or as the divine, as God? If I never serve, if I never even so much as listen to a brother without thinking my own thoughts at the same time, if I can't even serve my brother in that way, just to truly listen, if I cannot give my brother my time, my undivided time and attention, do I really respect him and love him as me? If I never give a dollar, if I never help a brother move, or, you know, just whatever, if I never reach out and offer a hand to another, can I honestly say that I'm opening my mind to see that we are one? And what Holy Spirit is really saying here is, no. If you're doing it in mind only, supposedly, but when the phone rings, you know, you don't have the time to talk to the brother who wants to talk, or when someone asks for help here, you don't have the willingness to help, you're probably fooling yourself, because the one who is truly seeing that we are one is opening up to serve the totality of that which we are. And of course, if we're still in the process of this awakening, then our service, our physical service, is an expression of our willingness to see our oneness. We are following through in action on the willingness we've committed to in the mind. And it's a great message. To me, it's a great Christmas message, too. It's a great Christmas message. It's really the spirit of Christmas. But I think that maybe you can see the point that Holy Spirit is making here. And in fact, after this time, a little later on, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 months later or so, is when I wrote NTI Philippians. And NTI Philippians follows the same idea that whatever the body is doing is an expression of what you truly, truly believe. You may say, I believe this or I believe that, but what you are doing is a real strong expression of what you really believe. And in fact, in NTI Philippians, Holy Spirit actually recommends that we watch the mind by watching the body. Watch the mind by watching the body. For example, my friend Lord Blue is here, so I'm going to pick on him. If every time Lord Blue wrote something on the board, let's just pretend for a moment. If every time Lord Blue said something on the board, I said, Lord Blue, why are you always writing on the board? You know, every time I come in here, Lord Blue, you're writing on the board. It's so distracting. I wish you would just, you know, stop it. In fact, could everybody quit writing on the board? I can't handle the distraction. Okay, let's go back to this message. We are one. God is love. All there is God. Do you see how I may be saying the words, but my action shows it's not true. Now, Holy Spirit isn't asking us to judge one another, but Holy Spirit is asking me to look at my own body, my own action. He is saying that the body is very easy to see. Sometimes it's easier to see than the thoughts in the mind. And if I find my own body jumping all over Lord Blue for writing on the board, then I can notice, if I want to, that I really believe in separation. You know? So we say it's not about what we do, and in one way that is very true. Like I said, the old traditional Christian idea of good works without any, you can write whatever you want, Lord Blue, I don't care. He says, do you want me not to write? I don't care. I just like picking on you. Yeah, there you go. So you stick your tongue out at me. I don't care what you write, Lord Blue. It doesn't bother me. I just had to make up an example. Anyway, you know, the old traditional Christian thought of good works being important and not caring at all where the mind is, that's not true. But pretending like the body doesn't follow the mind is a little bit foolish too. The truth is, whatever we are doing is an expression of what we're believing. And so we can watch what we're doing to see what we're believing. And if we are giving our willingness to change a specific belief, we can actually start doing differently as an expression of that willingness. We can actually start doing differently, even before the miracle changes in the mind. The doing differently is an expression of the willingness for the miracle. So it kind of goes hand in hand, the thoughts and the doing. So I'll just read this message again, now that I've talked a little bit about it, this Christmas message from 2005. At first I said, as I am giving my willingness to go deeper into the mind, I am seeing more of my error. For example, I see the myriad of judgments that my mind makes in order to separate the Son of God. Some of the judgments seem overt, some seem subtle, some seem to be opinion, and some seem to be fact within the world, such as girl, boy, old, young, rich, poor, etc. But I am recognizing that all of these judgments serve the purpose of separation. I give my willingness to see differently. What else can I do? And the Holy Spirit says, giving your willingness is everything. So what you can do is increase the expression of your willingness. Since you still believe in the world, expressing your willingness in form can be helpful. Simply remember as you take actions to express your willingness that the action is a symbol. It is the expression of the willingness as giving that is most helpful. What can you do to express your willingness as giving? Remember that the goal is to increase your willingness to see your brothers as you through giving. Focused on that goal, do whatever comes into your mind to do. You might help someone with a task, share a warm smile, listen to another person. Whatever it is that you do, keep the intent, which of course is our willingness to see differently, to see oneness instead of separation. Whatever it is that you do, keep the intent fully in mind at all times. You are willing to see that you and your brothers are one, and that love is all that exists. Through the consistent expression of your willingness, you ready yourself to receive by giving. So that is that message. What more can I do? And let's see what Maria has written here. If you use it only to reach the minds of those who believe they are bodies and teach them through the body that it is not so, you will understand the power of the mind that is in you. Ah, yes. So if you use it, would be referring to the body. If you use the body only to reach the minds of those who believe they are bodies and teach them through the body that it is not so, you will understand the power of the mind that is in you. Also up above, she wrote, if the body becomes a means you give to the Holy Spirit to use on behalf of union of the sonship, you will not see anything physical except as what it is. Use it for truth, and you will see truly. And also at the bottom, she writes, use me takes on a whole new meaning. Great. Thank you. I'm going to let go of the mic again. I'm going to get a little drink, and I'm going to go and see where the next message is hiding here. I'll be right back. By the way, if anybody wants to share, you are invited to. Okay, everybody, Happy New Year. You know, start blowing your horns, throwing confetti, kissing. We're moving into January 2006. We are crossing over, except again, my computer is being very slow. Oh no, not only is it being slow, it's not going there. Let me try that again. It's saying right now that it can't find that page, but let me try again. January 2006, Here we go, trying it again. Computers are funny. If not, I'll have to sing and dance, entertain y'all somehow. Or somebody else can. Still waiting for January 2006 to show up. Okay, I got January 2006. Let me find the first message of January 2006. And yep, I see a hand up, so I'll let go of the mic. Please take the mic. That's Colleen, I think, right? I'm a little shy when I'm not sure, but I'll take a chance. Is this Colleen? Yeah, Colleen, did you want the mic? Assuming that is Colleen. Brienne's son? I think that's Colleen. Did you want the mic?
Hi, Regina. Can you hear me now? Hi. Can anyone hear me? Oh, hi. Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment and also just share a very, very quick story. It's amazingly timely, Regina, what you're speaking about tonight in terms of the form and the type of giving through, you know, body and mind. And I made a couple comments earlier, but I just wanted to share this. I had a really interesting, last night I had been listening to the CD of The Pain Body with Eckhart, and it was incredibly, because I'm going through a transition right now of career change, I had an experience today in the gym, and I had a woman stop me midway when I was working out, and she asked me what weight I was using, and I shared what I was, you know, my method, etc., and she asked me then how old I was, and I shared how old I was, and we were close in age, and then she was asking me how tall I was. And I told her, tried to keep very open during this time. And she was asking me these questions. I wasn't annoyed, and because I do love to share when someone seems sincerely like interested. And she was very interested in, and I can say I know everyone will understand my form, you know. And I could tell right away because she was comparing herself to me, and I immediately, what I tried to do was kind of stray her away from concentrating on my form to her form by being very open and willing. And I was able to ask her questions, and she had told me she had given up smoking for 2 years. So I concentrated on that. And during that time, I could tell she was feeling very bad about herself, her form. And I was able to point out what incredible things she had done, and the wonderful things, and the physiological steps, you know, and changes that had gone through her body in the 2 years, and why she shouldn't feel bad at being at a certain weight. I gave her advice, some nutritional advice, and I helped her with her workout. And by keeping so open and not making a judgment and not comparing her form to my form and allowing her in some way to do that, it was an incredible exchange, because I'm trying to incorporate A Course in Miracles with fitness, and because I've always been into fitness and nutrition and was a dancer, etc. And instead of having someone look at me and saying that is what I want to look like, I try to change that over to the person and concentrating on the positive aspects. So I thought maybe I'd like to perhaps get your feedback on that. And like I said, it was just very timely, your this wonderful lesson. Okay, I'll wait for your response. Thanks, everyone, and happy Passover to everyone. Thank you.
I don't know if I have feedback. I think that the one thing that I heard that I felt a really strong inner confirmation of is when you talked about, doing what you felt to do, talking to her in the way you felt to talk to her without judgment. One thing that I feel Holy Spirit is definitely teaching me is that the without judgment thing is really important. And when we're in a space of without judgment and then just doing what comes naturally to do, that's a pretty good space to be in. That's a pretty good space to be in. And I also realize, I think, more and more and more that we do not talk to everyone the same. You know, in fact, I was talking to Laurent about this on the phone. If the spiritual path was, you know, like an actual path from point A to point B and, you know, had turns along the way where you turn and face a different direction because you're getting ready for another lesson, and then you turn and face another direction and you follow the path. If the Holy Spirit was giving directions on the path for each one, he's not going to give everybody the same direction because everybody's in a different place on the path. For example, if there's one place on the path where you're supposed to turn right at the mailbox, he's not going to tell everybody when they ask a question, whatever question it is, oh, turn right at the mailbox. Some people are going to be 500 miles from the mailbox, and if he tells them to turn right at the mailbox, they're going to start doubting themselves way, way, way before they get there, thinking they heard him wrongly. So he's going to give them a different direction, a direction that's right for right where they're at. He's also not going to tell us to turn right at the mailbox if we've already passed the mailbox. That would be pretty ridiculous. So, I think it's really best whenever we're talking to anyone that we just stay in a place of openness without judgment. Whether you should or should not talk about the body, whether you should or should not diet, should or should not exercise, those things can be judgments. To have no judgments about that and just be willing to say whatever we feel guided to say in the moment when someone starts asking us questions, that's perfect. And one thing that I certainly discover, because I talk to quite a few people every day, and one thing that I find is I am not at all talking about the same thing with all of those people. Just not at all. And I don't put any thought into what I talk about. I just listen. I listen without thinking. And then I trust what comes up and I say that. But there are a lot of different directions for a lot of different people. I've heard myself recommend everything from, you know, you should check yourself into a facility that can give you the help you need, to the world is not real. Don't think about that. And there's a big, big difference in between. But each person's in the place where each person is, and Holy Spirit knows exactly what's right for them. So I guess that's the feedback. If you can call that feedback at all. Yeah. You know, I think it's so funny. I think one thing we do get caught up in on the spiritual path, even though we're on a path of letting go of judgment, what seems to happen are a lot of other judgments along the way. And I think that's a part of what tonight's teaching has been about, actually, the two messages on body. The two messages on body have been about letting go of our judgments around the body. The first message about the confusion, I am a body, was about letting go of the ridiculous ideas that if I'm not a body, I should not eat, I should not take medicine, when in fact we are probably, most likely, very much in a place where we do need to eat, and if we have a particular illness, we may need medicine. So accepting where we're at and giving our willingness to see differently. Let go of those judgments. And then the second one, another error that we make around the body, that the body, you know, again, what we do with the body is not important. It's all about the mind. And Holy Spirit's saying, wait a minute. But what you do with the body is an expression of what you're believing in your mind. So, you know, we spend a lot of time, I am not a body, you know. And this is very true. This is very, very true. We are not bodies. But right now we're definitely experiencing ourselves that way, and that body is an expression of our beliefs. And so it's helpful to keep that in mind. It's helpful to be very honest about what our beliefs are. It's helpful to give our willingness to see differently. It's helpful to use the body to give our willingness by going ahead and changing habits when we're ready to change habits as a willingness for the miracle, as a further expression of our willingness. And it's helpful not to make judgments about our body or where we are on the spiritual path or about other people and where they are. And it's also really helpful to remember that everything that Holy Spirit teaches us is for me, because another thing the ego wants to do is the ego wants to listen to this teaching and then look outside of me at these other bodies and find out who is not doing this so I can point a finger at them. Obviously that's an error. All of this teaching is about me, and the best person for me to look at is me. How am I doing? And then not even pointing a finger at me, not even judging me for where I'm still slipping, but noticing it and giving my willingness for the miracle. You see, Colleen has written, she really was asking about the sense of peace she was picking up. She was in the midst of struggle and was focusing on the body. Absolutely. You know, you met her where she was at, and again, you did it without judgment. Marie has written, the miracle worker is perfectly safe as long as you are completely unconcerned about your readiness. This is a great quote. Completely unconcerned about your readiness, but maintain a consistent trust in mind. Great. I can't speak very well, but that was a great quote. And then Lord Blue says, me. I wish my name was Mary Ellen, because of course we all call her me. And sometimes when I write to Mary Ellen, I sign it me too. And I didn't get to the next message, but this worked out great, because the truth is when I went and looked at the January 2006 message, I saw that it's a pretty long message, and we probably would not have been able to cover it well in 15 minutes. So I'm really glad that Colleen took the mic and that the discussion just kind of went off into a summary of what we've already talked about tonight instead of moving into a new topic. So it looks like tonight was all about the body. All about the body. And that's great because, again, the body is still something here. And, you know, I used to have that confusion in my mind about, am I guilty for exercising? Am I believing I'm a body if I exercise? Blah, 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 blah. There's something that Peace Pilgrim said about that, which is just good old country enlightened wisdom. She said, I know I am not this body. I also know I am not these clothes, but I wash them and I take care of them. So why wouldn't I wash and take care of the body? And it's funny because we may have confusion about whether, you know, we should eat somewhat right, if you guys know what I mean. I don't want to put a judgment in there, but you know what I mean about following inner guidance for a healthy diet, about whether we should eat right, exercise, but yet we don't have confusion about whether we should change the oil in our car, put gas in the car. You know, we're actually making the body special by having these confusions in the mind. It's just what Holy Spirit said in the first message. Simply by having the confusion, it proves we do think we are a body. If we didn't think we were a body, we wouldn't think any differently about taking care of it than we do our car, our clothes, our yard, the other things that are in our stewardship that we take care of. The only reason we feel guilt around it is because we think we are the body and we feel guilt about that. Polly has written, but isn't it funny that we think that we can make real what can never be, never was, and never is real? We can't make the unreal real. We just swim in our ideas. And actually, homeboy, I think we drown in our ideas. We just swim in our ideas of judgment and delay our own awakening. Yeah, we're really pretty foolish. And if we can laugh at how foolish we are, that's great. We're really pretty foolish. And it's kind of fun to spend every day finding another way that we've been foolish and letting go of it, you know, and just laugh at it. Marie writes, "The sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for himself. This means you recognize that mind is the only creative level and that its errors are healed by the atonement. Once you accept this, your mind can only heal." And then, of course, Lord Blue closes with a brilliant quote. "I am not a body, I am a car." All right, guys, I'm out of here. Actually, I'm out of here. Yeah, I'm going to be gone for 10 days going to Boston. So my next teaching will be on Wednesday, the 22nd. I'll see some of you guys, I'm sure, on April 18th when I am in Quincy at Vicky and Teddy's house with Open Doors. So I'll see some of you guys then. Have fun. I love you. And I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Bye.